morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We got a wonderful show for you this morning, one I've really been looking forward to ever since I talked to this wonderful superintendent a few weeks ago, Dr. Leslie Torres Rodriguez. No, I'll say it nicely. Dr. Leslie Torres Rodriguez. A little more properly there. Okay. Leslie is the superintendent of schools in Hartford, Connecticut. All right. And she has done a remarkable job. And she's done an especially remarkable job about bringing in faculty that resembles the students in this largely Hispanic town now. Okay. About, I think if I remember correctly, it's about 60% Latino right now. All right. She was on the show a few weeks ago with my good friend Maria Armstrong, who is the director, the executive director of ALAS, the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. Their conference is coming up on October 6th and 7th, and we're hoping to be able to get some guests that are at the conference when they're there. So I'm working on that with Maria. But Leslie, so impressed me, wanted her to come back on and talk about this incredible program she has created with her staff, okay, including our other guest, Daisy Torres, okay, who's the Director of Services for Multilingual Learners, all right, World and Dual Language Programs in Hartford, and she oversees language programming and services for Hartford Public Schools. And before I bring them on, I just want to remind you that everything we do is at ACE-EB.org, the home website of our Consortium for Equity in Education, which is why this is so important, because we do so much with teacher retention there and making sure that kids have teachers that look like them, okay, and engage them well. And that's exactly what Leslie and Daisy are doing. And my first question, Leslie, is, are you related to Daisy? You both told us.
We are not. But we do share a lot of our values and a deep commitment to equity.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you do. But I just was curious, because I know Twitter is a fairly common name. And by the way, I know you guys, Les, before we get into this, okay, you got probably have good friends, et cetera, in Puerto Rico. I've been talking to some people in Puerto Rico. I know that they have had problems with electricity, water, et cetera. What are you hearing, just before we get into all this?
Well, personally, my family lives in the southern coast of the island, and so from Santa Isabel to Jauca to Ponce, most of my family is there. They have no electricity, they have no water, and so, you know, that weighs heavily on my mind and in my heart, and I'm sure many of our students as well.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I have family as well over in Jabacoa. And Humacao, and likewise, they are without water and electricity. But, you know, they're so resilient and they're so positive. And so, you know, they're in our thoughts and prayers.
Without question, and besides thoughts and prayers, I want them to have water and electricity. Mm-hmm. And they got to rebuild that system so that it actually makes sense, okay, can withstand these heavier and heavier hurricanes. They didn't build it right the first time. I've been watching the news. They got it all mixed up this time. They thought they had it better. They don't. And this was only a Cat 1 hurricane. They're going to get more. Okay, so we got to take care of those folks and those kids. They got destroyed by Hurricane Maria 5 years ago. And it just ain't good. And actually, Daisy, first of all, hi, Daisy. I'm Larry. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Larry. It's a pleasure, and I'm so happy to be here.
I'm thrilled you're here as well. Okay, it's a pleasure to know you. And are you either of you going down to the ALAS conference in Puerto Rico, which will come off? They do have enough. I think they have the generators to make. I hope it comes off in October 5th, 6th, and 7th. What's going on with that? I'll ask Leslie. Are you going down there?
Yes, and the plan is for the summit to continue. While being focused, right, on what's really happening in the backdrop, which is, you know, the challenges that are happening across the island.
Yeah, I hope everything might be all set up by then. Daisy, you're going to go?
Yes, I will be in attendance. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you would say yes. Okay, I'm glad you are. So you'll see the family, et cetera. All right, that's really good. Both of you guys, wish your families well for everybody, me and everybody, for me and everybody listening. It's really something. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of this. I love Leslie and I, my new favorite superintendent in the whole world. Okay.
I hope.
Okay. And we talked about this. This is great. Okay. Talk. I want to just position the district before we get in how you're finding this teacher talent. Okay. And I'll give it to Leslie if you want to pass it to Daisy, you can. But just describe your district so that everybody knows what's going on here. Go ahead, Leslie.
Yeah, so for context.
Dr. Leslie Torres-Rodriguez, everybody, which I'm saying much better than I did at my first shot. So there you go.
You're doing great.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate that.
For context, so we have a district of 39 schools, about 17,000 students. And the one unique aspect is that we actually operate within what I call an ecosystem of school choice. So about half of our schools are magnet schools, which means that we welcome students from about 65 surrounding towns. And so the diversity in terms of culture, heritage, language, perspective is something that we really are proud of. But at the same time, we have to always be mindful and committed to making sure that all of our students, right, within that diverse set have an opportunity to access learning supports that are high quality and that set them up for success.
I could agree more. And one of the things that I want you to explain, you just said, you have magnet schools and you said they are from all different communities. Are all those communities within the city of Hartford or are
they
surrounding?
Yes, they are within the greater Hartford area. And so Hartford is the capital city. And so, you know, families have a choice to send their students to our magnets. And our families in Hartford also have a choice to select other schools outside of Hartford to send their students to. And so, you know, in those magnet schools, 50% of the students by a stipulated agreement that is about 30 years old, Larry, that sought to provide integrated quality education for students in Hartford. You fast forward 30 years since the initial lawsuit, quite frankly, and this is what we have, right? A system in which we are welcoming students from all nearby towns.
And that was the purpose of the lawsuit, by the way. It's a shame it has to go to a lawsuit. Okay, many, many years ago, but you know, once we get it settled, it tends to level off and everybody's happy. And I'm glad that's going on. Daisy, are you from there? Are you from Hartford?
I'm actually from Meriden, which is about 20 minutes from Hartford. So,
I know Meriden well. Mark Benitez is a good friend of mine over there.
Yes,
I know the gang over there and Barbara and everybody. I'll tell them hello. They lost the good one. I'll tell them that too. Okay, I'll tell them they lost the good one.
That's
okay, they
awesome.
Should be I know Meriden's a nice school district. It really is. Daisy, what's the demographics of Hartford? You don't know Pastor Leslie, but what are the demographics of the Hartford school system?
Yeah, so we have 55% of our students are Latino, and most are Puerto Rican background. And, you know, we have over 85 different languages spoken here in Hartford. We are a very diverse community. 29% as well identify as African American. So, you know, we're very proud of that diversity. And so, you know, all the languages we speak, for example, just really speak to the fact that, you know, we have families who come from so many different places, and we welcome that here in Hartford. It's one of the reasons why I came to this district.
And by the way, Mark used to be my favorite superintendent, and I met Leslie. So now Leslie's my
favorite.
No, Leslie's
awesome. She's great.
Yes. She's my favorite. I'll tell Mark that. Please call Benini and tell him that. He's the one who moved into second place.
I will. I definitely
will. Okay, do that, please. Excellent. Okay. Now, by the way, when I heard this from Leslie, I was amazed. 55% of the kids, I live up in Maine, so I'm a New Englander. 55% of the kids, okay, in the Hartford schools, this is amazing, are of Hispanic descent. They're Latino. Okay, most from Puerto Rico. That's an amazing demographic shift. Okay, and it's great. Now we got to teach them, all right? And now we're in an age where we can't find teachers, period. Okay, there's a terrible teacher shortage. Okay, there's no pipeline, all right, coming in. I mean, it's rough out there. We have teacher-retention.com, our website, which is where the show is going to be archived, by the way. Okay, when we're done. You have come up, you two and your group, has come up with a program called, and I will attempt to say this properly, a paso, step by step. You gave me the
translation.
That's
a paso a paso.
Thank you very much. A paso, step by step. Okay, the approach to diversifying your teaching talent, because we got to present to these children engaging educators who look like them. Okay, that's African American, that's Latino, that's Caucasian, that's whatever we need. We just got to create the person, I'll call it at the front of the room, or they're usually at the side of the room now, okay, represent them, and they can see what's going on, and it'll also motivate some children to become educators, okay? If you don't see people like yourself, you're not going to wind up in the same thing. So, a paso, okay? Leslie Torres-Rodriguez, okay, Dr. Torres-Rodriguez, talk about this. How did this come about?
You know, the initial seed for this, as I continue to reflect on it, happened over 20 years ago when I was part of a group of educators that were coming together. Our district, you know, got us together, and we were all Latino. There were about 12 of us. Two of us were already on the mainland, and the rest were coming from Puerto Rico. And,
wow,
you know, our job was to spend time together and almost have like this network of support. It wasn't a structured program. And so fast forward, Larry, to 5 years ago when Hurricane Maria impacted the island, and
wow,
we welcomed about 500 students. That's when the initial idea popped
wow
up in my head. And I still remember
wow
the day where Daisy and I
mm-hmm
and a few other team members were
mm-hmm
around, you know, the table, and we were crafting the strategy to support our families because we knew they were coming. It was just a matter of time. And in the back of my mind was, well, look at this. We're going to have more students come in, and we still don't have staff that look, sound like them and can identify with their culture. And that was the initial seed. And we had a pilot from, you know, a private funder, and then working
wow
with Daisy and the rest of the team,
mm-hmm,
it became, you know, a codified approach to diversifying our talent. And little did we know that we were going to be in the situation we are in now, Larry, where, mm-hmm, you know, there's such a challenging situation with staffing.
It's just brutal out there. And, mm-hmm, and I'll say it right now, we cannot afford to lose a single teacher. Okay,
no,
we have to make sure we respect and love and honor and treat them well, our current educators, and make sure they know the good job they're doing, because we can't afford to lose one. Okay, so this started. So now you named the program a paso. Tell me about that. Daisy, what is it?
Yeah, perfect. I want to start with the name paso a paso, right? So paso a paso in Spanish means step by step. And Dr. Torres-Rodriguez and I and Dr. Negron, as part of Madeline Negron, as part of our team, we really were very intentional around how we were going to design the program so that we were providing those step-by-step supports for our teachers, right? And so the Paso a Paso teacher recruitment program really aims to kind of expand the partnership we already have in Hartford with Puerto Rico and recruit, and not just recruit, but retain our certified teachers here in Hartford Public Schools. We wanted to fill shortage areas, but just as Dr. Torres-Rodriguez also mentioned, is just to really connect culturally with language, right? To have a diverse teaching force that is reflective of the students that we serve. That was part of the design and the vision of this program. And we really wanted to make sure that our teachers were provided with that system of support. So it's one thing to just bring teachers over here and recruit them from
point
the island to a district, right? And you just,
that's
you know,
a great
get
point
them into a classroom, right? But you have to have the supports to give them, because it is a huge change. You're not only talking about culture shock, but you're talking about in some cases, a completely different system. If the teacher was coming from a private school, for example, and coming now into a large urban school district, we wanted to make sure those supports were in place. And so, you know, some examples of that is just helping them walk through the teacher certification process, which is a very complicated process. And so helping them with that and really connecting them with community resources, networking.
That's cool.
Mentioned ALAS earlier. We have a Connecticut affiliate, CALAS, And so we wanted to make sure our teachers were connected with networking opportunities within the Connecticut chapter of ALA, as well as providing them with school-based mentoring and coaching, right? Again, to help with that instructional piece and to make sure that they have a friendly face and someone to connect to in the schools that they're serving, because we know teaching can be difficult, challenging, lonely for even those that are from here, from Connecticut.
Right.
Imagine bringing in people from other places. So I'm just really passionate about it, because I want to just say that this is something like we were just talking about, something we've been thinking about for a couple of years, and to finally see it come to fruition is just something that we are so incredibly proud of.
You should be proud of it. And let me ask you this, Daisy, how's it working? Okay, when did it really start for real? And how are we doing on teacher retention of the folks that have moved there from Puerto Rico?
So that's a great question, because it's not something that you want to do, you know, when you're recruiting, you want to have several months, right, ahead of the school year that you're looking to recruit for. It has to happen early. So we were very intentional of recruiting early and having that time for the certification process. It takes months. Right? It takes months. So we wanted to make sure that those pieces were in place. We successfully were able to recruit 14 teachers who are here with us now in our schools. And they're serving in different positions and areas. We have, as you know, we have several shortage areas in the state of Connecticut. And so they are serving in different roles, such as bilingual education, English to speakers of other languages, art, music, world language Spanish, and they are, we were purposeful about as much as we could, depending on where vacancies were, just to making sure that we kind of group or pair people together so that they also have a familiar face and have someone to, you know, bounce ideas off with and kind of go through things together. So that was intentional. But this process, by the time you go through certification and getting them to think about housing and, you know, connecting them with those community resources. And some of the teachers are great. They came over earlier to kind of like take a look at Hartford and get to know the area. They came on their breaks from school. And so we were very, I think the timing 6 months out, even longer, is appropriate given the success of the program.
Yeah, and a lot of questions came to my mind. You were going through it. That's great. First of all, of course, there's a couple of things. First of all, I want to say one thing to everybody, which everybody knows. Okay, but I want to make this clear that Puerto Rico is America. Okay, it's not some foreign country. Okay, Puerto Rico is America. Okay, but the reason I'm asking that is, what's the reciprocal agreement? Okay, between certification, all right, for a teacher in Puerto Rico versus the one in Connecticut. Okay, in Connecticut, obviously, people in Connecticut go everywhere after they're teaching there too. Okay, so what's the reciprocity in terms of the certification? How different? I assume that the reason I made the joke about Puerto Rico being American is because I assume that the teacher training, okay, in the Puerto Rico in universities is fairly close to what it is here in this country. Okay, but in this country, I did it myself. I apologize for that. In the mainland. Okay, geez, I'm sorry about that. Okay, you know what I mean. How's the teacher training compared to what we do here?
That's a great question.
I apologize for my ridiculously stupid statement a minute ago. In this country, I'm going to kick myself in the head for that one for about 2 years.
Thank you. Thank you for listing that, and thank you for just naming it. I really appreciate that, because is there some misconception that Puerto
Rico? It's unbelievable. I can't believe I said it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you know, let's talk about that, right? They are, you know, a mainland. They are part of the United States. And so that's another reason, the strength of why are we not enhancing that partnership with Puerto Rico, especially given our demographics here in Hartford. But to your point, you're absolutely correct. We have enhanced reciprocity with Puerto Rico, essentially allowing a certified teacher, right, in Puerto Rico to come and teach in Connecticut in a very similar certification area.
Okay.
So if you are an elementary education teacher in Puerto Rico, you can come to Connecticut and apply for an equivalent certification here.
Cool.
And that has been huge for us. This was just a recent pass of legislation. So this is exactly why the timing of our program was also really important, because this was allowed, we were able to bring just about all of them under that enhanced reciprocity. So it was a real game changer for us in terms of making sure that our teachers, and quite frankly, if I'm going to be honest, way overdue.
I would say so.
So, you know, we join about 13 other states in that reciprocity, but I'm just really honored and proud to be, you know, serving in some of this leadership, because it is something very near and dear to my heart, being a Puerto Rican woman, although born and raised here in Connecticut. I still have, you know, I'm very connected to the island. So this is very much something that I'm very passionate about.
And the other thing, which I was kind of laughing here to myself before, Puerto Rico has really nice weather, okay? Connecticut does, but I live in Maine, so let's be realistic here, okay? Okay, it does snow just a tidge in New England everywhere, okay? How do people which is a funny question, but how are people reacting to the change in weather? It's a silly question, but it's for real. All of a sudden,
it's,
you know,
actually
it's 22 degrees.
Valid question, if you ask me. And as a matter of fact, we were just having a conversation with a few of the teachers in the PASO program who were just saying that they were like, I was outside and I had to, you know, think about a jacket. I haven't had to really think about that. It's been different. But they, you know, they've been like I said, leaning in on each other in their school-based communities, and they have figured it out, right? They're adapting well. Considering, but you know, you're right. Winter hasn't come yet. And so preparing them and ensuring that they understand what's coming, is part of the wraparound services that we're providing them.
Yeah, make sure they see the L.L. Bean catalog and the Eddie Bauer. Okay, make sure they see that. Okay, it is funny, but it is important. The other thing is that, Les, I want to ask you. Okay, you're gonna, when you are down in Puerto Rico for ALAS and you go to see your family, etc. Okay, I'm sure you know superintendents. Okay, and I don't know. Actually, I don't know Puerto Rico's system. Is it one? It might be one system. I don't. Is it one? What is
it?
It
is
one system.
There?
Okay,
it
so you know
system.
The superintendent. Okay, and you know the varied regional directors, etc. And what's their attitude towards this? Because they still need teachers too. Okay, so what's going on in that relationship?
You know, I have heard it being received in across a continuum, right? Some say that, you know, are we thinking about the brain drain? So I just want to call out, we're talking about 14 teachers, right? And so while I am not minimizing their concerns, you know, people have choices, right? And so what we also want to make sure is that we also, you know, set ourselves up for other resource sharing. If, right, this is just the beginning for us. It's an opportunity, and you know we have teachers across the entire continuum. Some are experienced teachers; they've been teaching for, I don't know. We have someone, for example, comes to mind, teaching for 8 years. Some that are, you know, fairly new to teaching, and so that's one way that it's been received. The other way in which it's been received is that, you know, there is hope for, again, extending the network and the partnership for at some point sharing, you know, either professional learning strategies that we can bolster, you know, both systems, if you will.
Right. And I want to get back to this, Leslie. Answer this. What subjects? You mentioned a few before, Daisy, but Leslie, are you able to find the tough ones, special ed, math, science? Okay, are you able to find those?
I wish I could say we could. You know, that we did,
it's
we
hard
did
everywhere.
Actually identify some. Yeah, it's just that is across the country, as you know, right? Math, our special ed, our speech and language, those are very, very hard. But we did, you know, we were aiming when we first started, it was specifically to support our newcomers, right, our bilingual students. And we were so fortunate this time around that we were able to recruit and welcome teachers from a variety of content areas.
Can you what were you able to get in the 14? What came in? Mostly elementary or what?
Oh, we got elementary, secondary. We have, you know, a core group of them is really centered in our dual language school, which is great because, you know, we actually are growing that school. It's currently a neighborhood school that will transition into a magnet school. And so it's been, you know, Daisy and Dr. Negron have really been so intentional about the growth, the annual growth of that school. And so it's great to be able to support our current students and our future families that are going to be part of that school.
I think it's so important. I think, again, I'm going to keep saying it's wonderful what you guys are doing. About 25% of your students are African American, okay? And it's very, very difficult. It's just brutal out there to find African American young people getting into education. I want more and more to do that, and I hope they do. What's the word on that side of the equation? I'll ask Leslie.
Yeah, and I can then, you know, tag Daisy in. It's the same challenge. And, you know, we are the district that has the highest diversity of staff and in the state. And we only have about 27%. But that's only 27%. And we have the highest number, right? And so there's a lot of work to do there. And we have a partnership specifically with our HBCUs. But we also have to think about the broader context, which is, you know, Hartford is in between Boston and New York. And, you know, we have to think about, you know, besides the school district, right, how else can we position ourselves in the city to be a place that people, the young people specifically, want to come to. This year, you know, about 220 teachers that we welcome this year overall.
Nice.
And I will tell you, I was so pleased of the geographic diversity from Arizona to Oklahoma to New York to Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico. I mean, we were so pleased, but you know, Larry, I think we have to continue to step back, as with all of our strategies, and think about how else can we bolster our partnerships, the incentives perhaps for folks that might think that Hartford just isn't sexy enough, I think it's perfect. It just in between, right? And so, but I know that other people, you know, are looking for other things as well.
Well, they should be. They should look at New England, which is the nicest part of the country. Absolutely where I live. Okay? It's great. And when you said in a minute you have your choice between the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Patriots, the Giants, or the Jets. Okay? And that's key, which brings me to the next question. Daisy, are you a Patriots or Giants? Which are you, Daisy?
Well, I'm going to have to side because my fiancé will probably listen to this show, so I'm going to have to say Patriots.
Then you are welcome here again. Let's see if Leslie is welcome back. Leslie, Giants, Patriots.
So one thing, right? So a truth matters to me. So I'm going to be truthful. Neither one, because I don't do football.
That's okay.
Puerto Ricans, for us, all we argued about on Sundays were politics and baseball. So
baseball all day.
that brings the question then Mets, Yankees, or Red Sox?
It's Yankees.
Yankees all the way. Yankees.
That's just terrible. Okay. It's terrible. Obviously, there's something wrong in the water there or something. No. Hartford's wonderful. Okay. It really is a great town. Okay. And a lot to do there. Some great restaurants. And it's just so centrally located. It's really, really good. There's a lot to say for what you guys are doing. Okay, we're going to sustain this. We're going to make it happen. And actually, let me ask another question. Okay, the Connecticut Department of Education, the executive offices of the state, they know what you're doing. Okay, and they must be thrilled about this. Okay, how's the state helping you? Are they?
Well, I think in terms of the help is through some of the funding. So we're braiding some of the funds, right? We have private funding. And then as we think about sustaining the work, is potentially braiding some of, at least for the next 2 years through 2024, braiding in some of the COVID relief funding. And so, right, this aligns with one of the priorities that the state has set out for us. But sustainability is, you know, something that we're thinking about because, right, we know that it is a premier design that is not only bilingual, is bicultural, but is biliterate.
Yes.
Right, and that is what sets us apart.
Nice.
within this network of personalized outreach and supports, which, by the way, Larry, is the way that we approached serving our students and families when they were impacted by the hurricanes and then by the earthquakes. Right, that's really the essence of this whole design and idea, that we are doing exactly what it is that we're set out to do and that we value when we interact with our newcomer families.
Right. I think it's just wonderful, all the things you're doing there. And I think, it just makes it a wonderful city. Okay. And this, you guys are just doing great. That's all I can tell you. You really thought this through. All right. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks.
You're wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Are you kidding me? And you will do more. Okay. I really enjoy talking to you. And I want to wish you the best of luck with this program, because I just think it's great. I just think it's great. And I think it's so helpful to the kids. So thank you. It's great.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Take care, Larry. Bye-bye.
Daisy, Leslie, thanks a million. I'll be back in touch. Bye-bye.
You got it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Daisy Torres and Leslie Torres, Dr. Leslie Torres Rodriguez. Leslie is the superintendent of schools in Hartford, and they have this great program. Okay, and I just love it. And this age of teacher retention, they're working it all out. Okay, it's good stuff and taking care of the kids and thinking of all the kids. All right, we'll archive at ace-ed.org. See all the things we do over there. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.